Last night I talked about equanimity as a quality that's very highly valued in the Buddha's teachings, and how it appears in many of the different lists of skillful qualities to be developed, including as the last of the four Brahmavihara qualities that we've been exploring mostly in the afternoons. And this morning I'd like to continue that exploration of equanimity, this time as a Brahmavihara practice. So we'll be working with it as a support for our relationships with others, and particularly with people that tend to challenge our equanimity. But before we go there, I'd like to say just a little more about this quality of equanimity generally. Our ability to maintain equanimity over difficult circumstances is really strengthened by the understanding of impermanence, anicca, the truth that everything changes. So to the extent that we can really let in this truth, to that extent it will support our ability to stay equanimous. Often, though, we have a tendency to want to fix things, to fix other people, to fix ourselves. And by fix here, I mean it in both senses of the word, as in to mend or to repair or to improve, but also to make fixed and static and unchanging. So, developing the capacity to let go of this tendency to want things to be different, to want them to be permanent if they're pleasant, or impermanent if they're unpleasant, is a key aspect of equanimity. And in the context of the suttas, one image that's commonly used for this is the image of a mountain. The steadiness of the mountain, it remains unmoving, even as wind and rain and snowstorms might rage around it. And I've also used the image of the sky and of weather, how the sky is unaffected even as all these different weather conditions move through it. So here on this retreat we've seen sun and wind and rain and heat and cold and thunder, and yesterday some hail. And if we wanted any of those weather conditions to stay the same, we'll suffer. So many of the traditional phrases that are used for cultivating equanimity as a Brahmavihara do highlight this quality, this quality of impermanence. There's a few examples I'll give you from Western insight teachers such as Jack Kornfield and Sharon Salzberg and Kamala Masters. So Jack Kornfield says, "May I learn to see the arising and passing of all things with equanimity and balance." Sharon Salzberg, "May I be undisturbed by the comings and goings of events." And Kamala Masters, "May I accept and open to how it is right now, because this is how it is right now." And I appreciate how Kamala points to how this is how it is right now. She's pointing to the truth that everything changes. So rather than being some kind of passive resignation, oh, this is how it is right now, it's this is how it is right now, with the implication that it will change. So I'll be weaving some of these phrases into the guided meditation that we'll be doing in a few moments. But first, just a little bit more about the development of these Brahmaviharas generally. I've been emphasizing how they're gradual trainings. So in the Visuddhimagga instructions, we start with wherever the qualities come most naturally. And so far, I've been working in relation to the benefactor, a good friend, and the so-called easy beings. Yesterday I brought in a neutral person, somebody in the retreat that we don't know very well. Today I'd like to raise the bar a little and have us begin working with the category of the so-called difficult person. or more accurately, someone who we're currently having some difficulties with. But because that will be a bit of a mouthful to say in the instructions, we use the difficult person as shorthand, but it's not that we're trying to fix the person as the difficult person. So try to keep that in mind even as you work with them and hear the instructions. And this can be a fluid category again. So at times, even as we're working with a good friend, we might notice some pulses of resentment or something. So then we might move them into the difficult category for a while. And for some people, we ourselves come into this category of difficult people at times. So the point is that this is a very creative practice. And in the instructions, I'm offering you some basic templates, but I really encourage you to customize them to phrases, words that make sense to you, because you really can't do this practice wrong. It's, as I sometimes joke, it's pretty hard to accidentally generate too much metta or too much equanimity. So we really can give ourselves permission to play with these practices. So in relation to the difficult person, because by definition the difficult person is difficult, they're in that category because there have been some challenges with them, probably some unpleasant experiences and interactions. So again, the suggestion is to start with an easy difficult person, if that's not too much of a contradiction. Not somebody who's been intensely problematic for decades. So again, with this metaphorical scale of 1 to 10, try to find somebody who's a 5 or less. And in this practice, we're not trying to force or force ourselves to feel differently. We're not trying to manufacture our responses. We're not trying to minimize the truth of any harm that may have been done. So we really do need to go gently here. And if at any times the practice is starting to feel forced or painful, then always let it go. Perhaps switch to self-compassion for a few moments. And if necessary, just stay with mindfulness of breathing for the rest of the session or until you come back to balance. And when we work with a difficult person, it might be helpful to remember the aphorism that hurt people hurt people. So this understanding that often unskillful behavior is coming out of some form of pain or distress that may or may not be apparent to us. But if we can understand and maybe try to connect with what's underlying the challenging behavior, then that might help us soften into having at least equanimity, if not outright compassion. And having a sense of humor is a huge support to the practice because it helps to reduce the tendency to take things personally. And to see that our challenges are universal, so doubt that there's anybody in this room who doesn't have some kind of difficult person in their lives. Is that true? Is there anyone here who has no difficult people whatsoever? I thought you were raising your hand for a moment. Nice try. It's like being at an auction, you have to be careful. So nobody has no difficult people. So you all have someone you can work with. Great. So with this particular meditation, I'm going to invite us to work with someone in our lives who we in some way have a kind of an agenda for, someone that we wish was different in some way, or we wish that our relationship with them was different in some way. And I think of this as this, a kind of a sticky person. There's some way that we interact, that we keep being caught in this wish for things to be different, desire to control or improve the person or our relationship with them. And the phrases that we'll be using are really the invitation to let go of this agenda. I care about you, but I cannot live your life for you. Your happiness or unhappiness depends upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. So that's the basic, I'll be saying it throughout the guided meditation, but yeah, one more time, I care about you, but cannot live your life for you. Your happiness or unhappiness depends upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. So as you hear those phrases, perhaps a particular person comes to mind, someone you'd like to explore this quality for. So we'll give it a go now.